Christians, so we know that many Christians, you know, appears to be going to church and serving fervently in church, especially young people. But the thing is, some very paradoxical observations can be made in the lives of Christians, because even though they heard a lot of God's word, they go to church every week, but many a times, even within the hearts of Christians, they don't see fulfillment, or they don't enjoy the kind of power and miracles that, you know, that we read in the Bible, about David and Goliath and the 12 apostles of Jesus. It's like we go to church, but we seem to be lacking the kind of experiences that Jesus' followers in the Bible went through. And so the issue is basically due to what? Due to the fact that many Christians in the modern day, actually, they didn't realize what is the most important blessings that they have gained through Jesus. What do you think is your most important blessing in your life? Like after becoming a Christian, what's the most important thing? What's the most important blessing in Christ? So many blessings.
Salvation.
Okay, salvation. But salvation is important, of course. That's most important. Salvation is tied to what? Because salvation, if that's only salvation, right, you'll only be happy after you die and go to heaven. And you say, wow, I'm finally safe in paradise. So salvation is definitely correct. But what is related to this salvation? Wei Xiang?
Grace.
So God's grace gives you the identity in Christ. Correct? Grace is definitely right. Yes. Oh, yeah. Oh, Choi, you know, because of this. Identity, okay, because identity is related to grace and salvation. Out of God's grace, He gave us the identity to be His children, to be His child. And because we are His child, we are saved, not by our behavior, not by our merits. So many Christians, why do they feel very lost? Why do they feel lacking in power as they live in this world? Because they are confirming their blessings in God in the wrong places. They keep confirming, you know, am I really blessed by God? Because I look at my grades, I look at how much money I have, I look at how many friends I have, I look at my achievement. Of course, those will come in God's grace also, but the most important blessing that God gave all of us is this identity in Christ. And of course, many people, they will say, yes, of course, we know in the head that we are a child of God after becoming Christian. But then, the problem with these children of God is, it's not that their identity is fake. But a lot of times, the problem with we believers is what? Is we are saved and we are child of God, but we lack what? We lack assurance. And how do we know children of God and believers lack assurance? You know, you look at the way we think, you know, we think in the direction of fear. You look at the things we choose. We choose for the temporal things rather than spiritual things, etc. You look at how we deal with our problem, how we face our problem. And you know, a lot of times when we look at Christians, they are very often, more often, they are overwhelmed by problems. You know, rather than they look at God and receive comfort, they look at problem and panic. And more often, you know, they look at their weaknesses and they look at their repeated sins and they got accused and they cannot get out of that sense of condemnation. But they didn't taste the abounding grace of forgiveness of God, even as they fall and even as they commit sin again and again. So we see that, you know, even though people, the Christians, they know that they belong to God, they are a lot of times hit by problems and they cannot stand up. You know, they look at their failures, they look at their limitations, they just feel very lousy about themselves. They just feel very inferior. But they didn't realize, you know, that God can have hidden blessings in their circumstances. And so that's the reason why we see that there is a high danger of even Christians losing our identity. And with it, the power, the enjoyment, the peace that comes with this identity, you know, as we live in the world. So even many Christians, you know how they always look at, you know, they're always affected by people who are smarter than them, who are, especially in this campus, who are prettier than them, who are more well-liked than them, but they didn't really look at what is God doing in their life. And so can such Christians who are a bit affected by the world, they are still loved by God. But the thing is, God cannot really do great things through their lives because their own life, they cannot even guide themselves. So how can they be instruments of God to bring blessings to others? So that's the reason why today, all of us seated here, we aim to be children of God who preserve, who guard our identity in Christ, even as we live in this lost world. So let's read two passages from Genesis before I go on. The first passage is a very familiar one, but I don't know whether all of you have memorized it. So Genesis chapter 1, verse 27 to 28. Genesis chapter 1, verse 27 to 28. Okay, so God created mankind in His own image. In the image of God, He created them. Male and female, He created them. So here, verse 27, it repeated this image of God twice. It's to double state the importance, the significance that this image of God is God's gift to mankind. It's like you are already dignified. You are already precious. You are already worthy because you have the image of God. Not because you have how much money, not because you have how many A's in your results slip, but because we all bear the image of God, so we are worthy enough. We are precious enough. And not just having the image of God, verse 28, God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, and over every living creature that moves on the ground." So God not just give you a very dignified identity. God give you a purpose. You know, some people say the most depressing thing on earth is to live without a purpose. You don't know why you have to study so hard for the quiz tomorrow. You don't know why you have to travel so far to come to NUS today. You don't know why you have to live your everyday only to face death in the end. So some people say the most miserable thing on earth is to not know any purpose. But God not just bring us to earth. He has a purpose. He has a reason for our existence. So we read about that in verse 28 just now. And then we skip to a later part. This is before the fall of man. So we go on to Genesis chapter 17, verse 3 to 8. This is about Abraham. And so Genesis 17, verse 3. This is where God made a covenant, made a promise to Abram. So this is like God also come to us in our fallen, in our lost state. And God made a covenant with us. So verse 3. Abram fell face down, and God said to him, "As for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations." So I don't know, some of you, when you read this, you may be thinking, this is like a historical event that happens to someone else. What has it got to do with me? But have you also realized that ever since you become a Christian, your name has also been changed? Maybe last time you are called the ordinary person. Maybe last time you are called the loser in the family. I don't know. Maybe last time you are called the nobody will call you. But you know, maybe some parents always compare siblings, and you are the lousier one or the smarter one. I don't know. But ever since you become a Christian, no longer will you be called so and so. But your name will be child of God. God will be with you. God's hand is with you. And so verse 6, and when God is with you, what happens? Okay, this is applicable to Abraham, but God also made promise to us. So verse 6, I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. Of course, this is for Abraham, but the part about being fruitful can apply to us also, because we bear fruit when we stick to Christ. Verse 7, I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for the generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. Verse 8, the whole land of Canaan, where you now reside as a foreigner, I will give as an everlasting possession to you and your descendants after you, and I will be their God. So you notice one interesting thing. When God came to give us His promise, He came at a time where, you know, things doesn't look very likely that His promise will come true. You know, now at this point, Abraham is still a foreigner. And then God is telling him, in future, this land will belong to you. It sounds very far-fetched. You know, in our church, last time we always say, you know, we are to be the source of blessing. We will impact the world. When I first heard this all these words, I was the same age as you 20 years ago. And then I felt this is like mission impossible. You know, I haven't even graduated. I don't even know whether I can graduate. And there you are, you tell me that I can impact the world with the gospel, where, you know, a lot of times I felt very condemned and accused by my own weaknesses, my own faults and limitations. So God always tells us something like very grand when things appear to be very unlikely. So just as now God told Abraham, even though now you are just a foreigner in this Canaan, but in future, this is the promised land given to you and your offspring. So no matter how things, whichever thing is unlikely to you, you know, some of you may think, you know, my set of circumstances in life, you know, my qualities, my family background, my interests, my talents, how can I be someone useful for the kingdom of God? You know, how can I finish the race beautifully? You know, some things appears to be very impossible for us. But if you take God's word seriously, God will help you see the fulfillment, even if it's not in this life. In heaven, next time you will confirm that God never tell lie. Okay, so with these two passages in mind, we'll look at a few things. First, because as I said, this is a lost world. So, the first thing we would like to think about is, you know, most people in the world, and I would like to narrow down to this campus, as you look around you, most people actually do not know who they really are. Why do I say this? Because Because this campus, what is this campus full of? This campus is full of a lot of worldly knowledge, a lot of diversified belief, and a lot of competitive spirit. So this is just like any part of the world, you know, because this is not a place that they talk about God as a central theme. So this is full of a lot of, you know, medicine, psychology, engineering, whatever. And because there's so diverse, so much worldly knowledge, and there is no one single surrender to this one chief authority called God. So everyone have their own belief system. You know, everyone believes different things. Some believe money is the most important. Maybe those in the financial business at the faculty. Or some believe science is all-powerful. Science can solve all problems. Or some people think psychology is the solution to human problem. You know, you can lift people out of depression. So everybody have their diversified belief. And of course here, you know, when no one is surrendered to the one chief source of authority, who is by right God, then there will be this competitive spirit. I want to not just live. Everyone do not live for the glory of God. You know, imagine this is a system where everyone look to one authority and yield to his will. Everyone will be very single heart. I live for his glory. But now without this God in control, everyone just live for their own glory. So as a natural consequence, everybody is just competing. And they want to get their own, they just want to get their own glory. Wait, I think my numbering a bit wrong. Okay. Anyway. So this is a non-believer. So you realize this campus in the non-believing spirit, they actually exalt one thing. This is for you to confirm. Humanism. Meaning everything they can discuss this campus. They can discuss a lot of things, but it centers around human interest, human benefit, human glory, human ability. And so this is what the campus is about, basically. So people just look at human will first before consider God. People look at what humans can do and should do before thinking about what God can do. And what's the outcome of such a culture on the people living in this kind of campus culture? The people, how do people shape their identity in such a background? You know, people would generally think that, oh, if I perform better than the person beside me, then I feel more worthy. You know, if I am better than others, then I can find my self-worth. So the foundation of their self-worth is already wrong, because they are trying to forge a self-worth by looking at who is beside them. So this is very this is not stable. You know, just like people always say, I'm very tall. I'm quite tall, right? So, but it's very relative. If you put me against the, all the Westerners, I think I may look like a small fry because they, people there may be 1.9, 1.8, I don't know. So it's very relative. Now I look very tall because I'm with Asians. So this, if I forge my identity based on this, I'm going to be in a shock when I go to somewhere else, you know, with all the very gigantic people there. I'll feel very timid. So, you know, sometimes also, last time in my primary school, I feel I'm very smart because I'm first top three in the class. Then I go to the secondary school, I realize, hey, actually there's so many people who are smarter than me. I'm from top three, I become, you know, in the tens. Then after that, I come to university. Wow, I thought I'm very smart. I get into the tutorial classroom. Then I think the best and smartest thing to do is to keep quiet so that people do not know how stupid I am. So it's very relative, you know, if you build your self-worth through that channel. But just now we read, our worth comes from the best value that God has assigned to each of us. And that is the image of God, which cannot be taken. But a lot of times we've forgotten that we are image of God. No matter how much we score, you know, how many people like us, we are still the image of God. That alone makes us worthy enough. So people of the world, they do not know the spiritual background, so they only build and base their self-worth on humanistic ideologies and foundation. And that's why they are always shaky. So here, first point I talk about non-believers, but now I want to talk about even Christians. This is short form for Christians. Even Christians, this one I learned from Reverend Lee. I don't know how, okay. So even Christians, they are also shaken and also what? Compromising. You know, so they, even Christians who know the spiritual background, you realize many Christians, if we are honest, they also live in human-driven way. They also live in some form of disbelief. You know, between using your own determination to score well versus praying and looking to God. Some people will even think praying sounds very superstitious or a bit far-fetched, you know. The most practical thing is to use my own strength and gain for myself. So even Christians living in this culture, they will compromise and be affected in certain sense. But some Christians say, no, I'm very clear, I'm a child of God. But the thing is, you have to ask yourself, you know in your mind you are a child of God, but can you enjoy that faith in the face of mounting tutorial, in the face of very smart people around you, in the face of the culture here? Are we able to enjoy our faith? Or is it many a times inside our hearts there's still a lot of fears, uncertainties, anxieties, low self-esteem, even though we say, I'm a child of God. But a lot of times you paisei, you are embarrassed that you're a child of God, you know, because you feel you are not smart enough or you didn't obey God well enough. And so here you realize one common phenomenon, even in the minds of Christians. In this campus, people, even Christians, tend to forget that they are Christians. But people only remember what? Who are the popular ones? Who are the smart people? You know, even Christians, sometimes you get into the class, what you remember is so-and-so is the best student here. So-and-so is always praised by the teacher. But you forget, you know, who are the Christians here? Because people don't really, the conscience is not tuned in that way. So this is a very, how to say, so in, you realize that in our, even in Christians' mindset, there is no gospel-centered thinking. There's no gospel-centered mindset. So we are already shaken by the world. And then you say, you know, thank God, I belong to a second type of Christian. I'm not compromising with the people of the world. I hold fast to the truth of God. But you realize even some Christians living in this environment, the worldly environment, even if they are not compromising, they are what? They are powerless. You know, they may be a very holy, holy Christian who go to church every week and who really pray every morning. But maybe they are powerless. For some reason, maybe they are afraid to offend others. But while it's a blessing, it's a grace that their own faith is not shaken and consumed, devoured by the world and the devil. They are still very clear about God. But maybe they don't want to offend people, they dare not speak up, they don't know how to present the gospel or whatever. They cannot impact the people around them. They cannot show people the power of Emmanuel. And so while they are still considered good Christian, they are not able to bring out, demonstrate the power of God. And so, you know, the thing is, I hope at least we are not number two, we are not the number two kind of Christian, but we are at least Christian who are not compromising. So how do we demonstrate the power of the gospel? Actually, if you want to demonstrate the power of the gospel, the simple thing is to live out. When you live in accordance to the truth will prove for itself. God will prove himself that his word is true. You know, just like Jesus Christ. You know, everyone don't know who is this God. They didn't see Father God before. He's invisible. But when Jesus came on earth 2,000 years ago and lived on earth, lived out Father God, then miracles happen. People can see the power of God being revealed, being demonstrated. People can see the power of forgiveness, not just the power of the lame able to work, to walk. But people can see the power of forgiveness. You know, when Jesus forgave Zacchaeus, wow, transformation came and he gave out his money to everyone. Such major power. So how do we show people that the gospel is power? We need to live out first. You know, people do not understand what do you mean by power. Prayer is power. But only when you start to pray in every big and small matter, people start to see the peace in you, the wisdom that you manifest as you talk in your discussion, project discussion. Oh, then people will start to see slowly the power of prayer, for example. So how do you demonstrate the power of gospel? Live it out. So when you live out God's word, as you study in this campus, angels will work and people's heart can be moved by the Holy Spirit. Now, I last time, I don't know how to evangelize. I cannot talk about campus too far away. You know, when I worked last time, my boss is Indian and a Hindu. He's my boss, but it's a bit hard to keep evangelizing to him. But he knows that I go to church very often, and he knows that prayer is important to me. So sometimes for very, very important meetings, very strange, he will come and tell me, Hui Kun, I'm Hui Kun, can you please pray for the meeting? I was thinking, pray for what? This is nothing to do with God's kingdom. No, in my heart, I'll be thinking, what do you want me to pray for? Because he has another agenda he wants to push through. But many a times he will come and say, Hui Kun, I know you're very powerful with prayer. Please help me pray this, that this prayer meeting will go well. I'll not be scolded by my big boss. Of course, when he said this, because at his faith level, he wouldn't understand other things. So of course, I pray, you know, God, since he asked me to pray, let him show that our God is powerful. So I think it works a few times. So every time got important meeting, he would come and ask me to pray. But when I pray, I didn't ask for his agenda to get through. I asked that God, you know, whatever you want to be done, just be done. So when you live out your identity, then gradually the power will be revealed. Okay, so this is the negative part. You know, people are losing their identity. People, including Christians, are losing their identity in this world. So, but despite the fact that people are losing their identity, the truth is, so people do not know who they are. But God is truly with his people. So you see, when the Bible gave us a lot of examples, when Daniel, he was in captivity from Israel to Babylon, God is with Daniel and his three friends. We all love their story, right? When Joseph was taken out from his family and sold to Egypt, God was with Joseph even in slavery. And when David, you know, he was being hunted by Saul in a life and death threatening situation, God was with David. So you can see, you know, I think, when was it? This in Hong Kong mission, I just came back. During the Q&A session, one sister, I think, asked this question. The Bible told us that God sent us into the world like sheep into a pack of wolves. How are we going to survive in the pack of wolves? Because how can we be more evil than the wolves? So everybody laughed at this question. You know, how can Christians be more evil than wolves? And how can we then win over them and impact the world? The thing is, even though Daniel, Joseph, they were sent to a foreign land, not their territory. But even so, God protected them. God was with them and God raised them up and God used them mightily. Even though David was in a life and death situation, God preserved him. So you can say, now you're in this campus, how are we going to override all this, you know, worldly knowledge, all this diversified belief, all this self-centeredness, all this humanistic culture, and all this competitive spirit? We are just a little small fry in the kingdom of God. If I can pray today, it's already a big reward. You know, how are we supposed to change the whole culture? But the truth is, it's not about you. It's not about how good you are, how powerful you are. It's about the fact that God is with us, with His people. And so now you need to ask, so who are the people that God will be with? So God is with, so as long as we pray hard in these three areas to be faithful, you can be assured that God will be with you. And when God is with you, God will give you evidence like He gave the people in the Bible. So God is with those who call on the name of Jesus. And these people who call on the name of Jesus, they are child of God. This is short form, child of God. So this one, we, John told us this promise. You know, God, He's, you know, a lot of times people always, you know, forgot that God is above the situation. God is above the problem. Over here, whether you are the non-believer or the Christians who are shaken, who are the Christians who are powerless, they forget one thing. They didn't look at the God who is above everything. They keep looking at their own condition, the circumstances, people's responses. And that's why they are like the Israelites before Goliath. They lose strength, they shiver, they panic. But here, if we know our identity in Christ clearly, and we know how to call on the name of Jesus, then you will find strength. Because we need to know that this identity is the most successful one you can attain in the world. You know, a lot of people, you say, who do you think is the most successful? Is it the president? Is it the CEO? Is it the wealthiest billionaire? Who is the most successful? What is the most successful identity? So today we talk about identity. You know, so at different phases, we have different definition of a successful identity. Some people, as a student, you would think the person with the highest grade is the most successful person. Next time when you go out, the person with the highest position in the office. So people have this changing definition of successful identity. But I tell you, for us Christian, the most successful identity we can ever have is a child of God. Because once you are firm on this, every of your prayer can mobilize angels to work. Every of your prayer can move the hands of God to work. Even the president, who is not a Christian, he cannot do what you do. You may be a little nobody, but when you pray with a clear assurance that you are a child of God, no matter what you pray, God will hear and answer. So think about this. And let this be ingrained into our mind, that the most successful identity that God can give a person is this child of God. So hopefully, you know, every time when you think of yourself in areas where you think you cannot lift up your head or you feel you're a bit inferior, but the moment you think and you remember that you are a child of God, may that give you strength. Because angels listen. No, God, I should say, God listens to the prayer of a child of God. And God commands His angels to work at the smallest prayer of a child of God. So God is with those who call on the name of Jesus, and meaning those who are child of God. And God is with those who know His covenant, meaning His promise. And this comes with His purpose. So meaning to say, if you want to, this is something we always confirm, if you want to taste the power of God, do not lose sight of the purpose that God has given in your life. Basically, we summarize God's purpose for Christians into 4G. This one for the very old people like me in church, they are very bored of hearing this. But since all of you are quite new, so Wei Xiang, you know, right? So the 4G stands for? Yeah, for gospelization. And in which four areas? Okay, individual, then family. Then region, and then world. Okay, so we summarize this. So this is like, so, you know, God doesn't just bring us into the world to suffer the stress of tests, the stress of living this harsh world. But God, He wants to save us, you know, individual plan, purpose. He wants to save us. He wants to build an intimate relationship with us. And God do not just care about us. God is not a selfish God. When He saves you, He also have a purpose. He also wants to save your family. And He also wants to save the people in wherever you are. In other words, your classmates are precious ones. Your teachers also. Your neighbors, your relatives, your clan, your family clan. And also, eventually, God wants to use us for the world. So, you know, maybe Qiao Yi and Hui Ping may think, how do we contribute to world gospelization? Hui Ping, have you contributed to world gospelization? So you are already recording, processing this, and now today you have a part in this. So you lend us the handphone, and then now it's a part of this world gospelization. Okay, some people will say this is too exaggerating. Well, we do what we can do in the conditions that God has given us, and we leave the work to God. Whatever the case, you know, just now Xuan Hui said she come by YouTube. So all these YouTube messages are very important. You know, our church is a very small one in the corner of Singapore, and last time it was in a storeroom. Thankfully, this time around, your cave is not a storeroom anymore. We were in a storeroom for, I think, more than 10 years or something. So everywhere we shift from one storeroom to another storeroom. But you know, what can we do being a church in a storeroom? But you be faithful to do whatever God, you know, when we know God's purpose, God's covenant, we do not look at our conditions. Yeah. So what if we are in a storeroom? The internet is boundless. So even though I don't know how long you spend to edit this, you know, maybe it's for you very fast, maybe 10 minutes or half an hour or 1 hour. But, you know, it contributes to world evangelism also. But actually sometimes when you first do it, you don't know. You know, when we first started doing this YouTube messages, it was like a decade ago. Back then, there was not a new friend every week, right? Qiao Yi will know, she was with us for so long. But nowadays, every week there will be new friends stepping into our church because of the YouTube. But it needs to start somewhere. So don't ever question God, okay? If God says you are useful, if God says you will be used for gospelization, you can be used. And start small, baby step. This is a baby step. So don't doubt God, okay? And so God is with those who knows. I shouldn't just restrict it to know. And believe. A lot of Christians, they remain powerless because they only know, but they do not believe that this covenant will come true. And so, when we talk about this covenant, one thing I want to highlight to you. You must always remember that no matter how powerful and fierce the devil is, can he or can he not remove the promise of God? This is a very super easy question for all of you undergrads in the campus, right? Can the devil alter or spoil God's promise or not? Cannot, right? This is so easy, right? But the thing is, how come many a times you don't feel like God's promise is very real? You don't feel like God's promise is happening? Because the truth is, even though the devil cannot destroy or cannot thwart God's promise or plan, but the devil can deceive you. The devil can make you doubt. And most importantly, the devil can make you forget God's promise. God's promise will surely come true, but you realize a lot of times the Bible makes you forget. In the sea of the things you have to do, in the sea of the homework you have to deal with, you forget that you are being called to contribute to world evangelism, for example. You just want to clear your final assignment and pass up and submit. And then that's all you want. But a lot of times we forget that, you know, God's promise is there. So I tell you again that the devil, no matter how he tried to deceive you, no matter how he tried to attack your self-esteem, look at yourself, you're so lousy, you know, you dare not even evangelize, you think you can build God's kingdom, you're dreaming, you know, sometimes the devil's words are so hurtful, you know, and so real. But he can shake you, he can make you doubt, he can make you forget, but he cannot remove God's promise in your life. Just believe this. When you can believe this, even though you can be affected for a little while, ultimately you'll be able to stand up to fight against the devil. So this is the part. God is with those who know His covenant, and God is with those who so call on His name, believe His covenant, and after you believe, you must follow. You know, some people say, yeah, I believe God, you know, I believe God is the best, but I want to follow the world. I believe God can give me the answer I want, but I still want to follow my heart. You know, my heart tells me to do this. You know, I feel like I should submit to my heart. It makes me happy. So God is with those who follow Him. And you see, those who follow Him, they may start in a very humble state. Ultimately, God will transform them. You know, look at the state of the 12 disciples of Jesus. They quarrel and fight. Who is the greatest? You know, now can you imagine if Wen Kang and myself fight? Hey, Pastor like you more. I mean, it's very funny, right? But now you will laugh. But you know, back then, Jesus is like the head of the hierarchy and people was arguing. He, hey, you know, Jesus like me better or like you better. Imagine your cell group leader Han Hong say, I prefer Qiao Yi more or I prefer Wei Xiang more. Or, you know, very funny. So Jesus' disciples back then, they were concerned about all these issues when Jesus is thinking about building the kingdom of God, saving people's soul. And there they are caring about their own glory and their own favor. But as they continue to follow Jesus, they all become courageous martyrs. Not all, I mean, John didn't die. I mean, of martyrdom. But they all become spirit-filled believers whom God used to change or to impact the early church era. So, when you want to follow God, we are talking about 24/7. You know, some people say, yeah, I'm following God, you know. I'm a regular church attendee. You know, you look at my weekly attendance, it's perfect score. But we are talking about 24/7, not just coming to God, no? Not just coming to God only for particular needs. You know, some people, they say, I follow God only when I have special requests. You know, I have insomnia, or I have a special need, or I have a crisis in front of me, then they come to God. But for you to taste more power of God, the closer you follow Him, the more intimate, the more you will see evidences. So God is with those who follow Him, not just, I mean, of course, I want to have a disclaimer. Of course, when I say this, God is with everyone. God is also with sinners, right? God is with sinners and condemning them and noting down their sins and going to judge them. God is with everyone. But what I mean is, God is on the side. God is on the side. And God is in favor of people who call on Him, who believe in His covenant, and who live for His covenant, and who follow Him. And so, if you, and this is the final, okay, today I don't know how long, but anyway, this is final. So if you are clear about your identity, and you truly believe that God is with you, then the last thing you need to know is you will definitely see evidences. Why would you see evidences? Because God is not a liar. If God is not a liar and you faithfully believe in Him, call on Him and follow Him, then of course you will see evidences. And so if you have greater problem, the greater your problem, you need to confirm whether you see greater blessing out of it. You know, you may, especially in your most stressful moments, you need to confirm, in my most stressful moment, when I don't compromise prayer with God, when I don't compromise time with God, like Wei Xiang just told me just now, I have a quiz tomorrow. And you call it quiz or test? I just know what's your term? Test, okay. So, for example, so you confirm, tomorrow, I don't know how it's going to happen tomorrow, but you can come. Tomorrow, you have a test. But when you didn't compromise time with God and you still value time with God's people, you confirm whether God gives you more grace. And when I say more grace, it doesn't necessarily translate into better score, but the peace is there, you know, or the efficiency. You know, with 2 hours, you can study 4 hours worth of syllabus. I don't know. So, no matter, I mean, of course, score can come also. But there's a lot of ways for you to test. You know, when things are getting busier, when project mates, every time you all share about project work is a challenging part. When project mates are not cooperative, you need to test and see. Despite that, you still know your identity, you still call on God, you still remember God is with you. Does God give you more grace in the process of that? You know, as you pray, does God change the heart of your project mate to wake up and be more participative? Or, you know, God gives you double the efficiency to do 2 persons work, you know, and have 2 persons intelligence to do the same thing. I know there's different, or if the project manager is still as lazy as ever, after you help them, wow, God opened a way for you to evangelize to him. Maybe he still irritates you with the laziness, but because you score some points by being the sacrificial lamb for the group, next time you share gospel with this person or whoever, they will give you some time to listen to the gospel you want to say. So you know, blessings come in different ways. So it's for us to confirm. But surely, if you follow God, you will see that the evidences that David, Daniel, Joseph, they receive can happen in your life also. And if you will see evidence, then you need to find worthy people in this campus to connect with. Just now I mentioned, the people in this world, they are worthy, but they are lost. Because every human being is an image of God. Every human being is loved by God. God desires everyone to be saved, but they are lost. They temporarily are deceived by the devil, and they do not, and they forget to consider the gospel. So if your purpose is 4G, and if you will see evidence, then when you try to find people around you to connect with, this is connect, to connect with, then God will show you. You know, sometimes in your challenges, there's a reason. Maybe you're very stressed or you cannot sleep over your studies because, you know, someone sitting at the corner of that classroom also have insomnia because of the studies. Someone in the corner there also feel very betrayed in the project group. I don't know. So sometimes the things that you go through will be testimonies to connect people to God. So find evidences like this. So this is the message for today. In general, we need to be sensitive to our environment. People are lost. There's a culture that makes people lost. The people are lost, of course, because already their spiritual state is in a slumber. But to make matters worse, the culture of this world will make even Christians lost. And so we need to guard ourselves. And how do we guard ourselves? By always reminding ourselves that God is with us. He's with those who call on him, who remembers his covenant, who follows him. And when you do that, God is faithful. He will give you evidences.